إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارِك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداهم بإحسانٍ إلى يوم الدين. All gratitude is due to Allah. We thank Him and we seek His help and we seek His forgiveness and we seek His guidance. For whomsoever Allah guides will surely find a path to guidance, and whomsoever Allah allows to be led astray will find no one else to guide him to the path. We testify that there is none worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, sent with truth and guidance and light to all of mankind and jinn, from his time until the end of time. Sent with the message of Allah that is indispensable for every human being, without which no one can be guided without that guidance of Allah. May Allah's blessings and peace be upon the messenger of Allah, and upon the household of the Messenger of Allah, and the companions of the Messenger of Allah, who have supported him and have supported truth and stood up for it, and who have taken the brunt of the greater effort and sacrifice so that Islam can come easy to us. And upon their companions and upon all those who follow in their footsteps until the last day. My dear brothers and sisters, here we are in the middle of Ramadan. Half gone, and but half to go. And it is a good time for us to check ourselves in this great month of Ramadan. An opportunity that comes, a gift from Allah, that is seized by those who appreciate the gifts of Allah, and an opportunity that is wasted by many who, though they are Muslimin and though they are mu'mineen, do not realize the value of the gifts of Allah. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam says, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس, seize five before five. اغتنم literally, seek a prize. Seize five prizes before five things happen. شبابك قبل هرمك, your youth before you get old. وغناك قبل فقرك, and your wealth before you are poor. Because you can do things when you are young you cannot do when you are old, and you can do things when you have money that you cannot do when you don't. وصحتك قبل سقمك, and your health before you get sick. وفراغك قبل شغلك, and your free time before you get busy. وحياتك قبل موتك, and your life before you die. And in each one of those there is a great prize from Allah. Time is a prize, health is a prize, wealth is a prize, youth is a prize, and most certainly, life is a prize from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that brings the greatest benefit into the hereafter for those who seize it, and a wasted opportunity for those who waste it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the gift of the month of Ramadan, in which we have the chance to exercise seeking the prizes of Allah. During this month, our deeds are multiplied. What we do that is extra counts as much as mandatory. An extra prayer counts as much as mandatory. And the mandatory counts 70-fold. And Allah multiplies to whomever He wills as much as He wills. And even more so in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And even more so in one night, in those last 10 nights, that is better than a lifetime. One single night, better than a lifetime. All on the occasion of the revelation of the Quran. All to celebrate the guidance of Allah itself. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. We have indeed revealed it in Laylatul Qadr. People mistranslate the word Qadr to say the night of power. That would be Qudra. Or the night of destiny. That would be Qadr. Qadr means something of great value. That's Qadr. Qadr Kabir has a great value. The valuable night. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And how would you know? What do you know about Laylatul Qadr? Laylatul Qadr خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. That one night is better than 1,000 months. 83 years and 4 months. It is better than that in one single night. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر. In it, the angel Jibreel and the angels come down with every command of Allah. By the will of Allah. سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. Peace be upon this night until the coming of dawn. So the blessings of Allah are multiplied. During the month of Ramadan, we try to behave as we wish we could behave year long. It's a month-long exercise in being our better selves. For a month, we try to elevate ourselves. And if we succeed, then by the end of Ramadan, we will be better than we were before Ramadan has come. I do not say we will be after Ramadan better than we were in Ramadan. Ramadan is the exercise period. But we will be after Ramadan better than we were before Ramadan. It's a great opportunity from Allah. And Ramadan comes once in a year, just like an opportunity comes and goes. But by the blessings of Allah, for those who do not fully seize the opportunity of the month of Ramadan, there may be a chance of another Ramadan. So one difference here is when Ramadan is gone, we might have another chance at another Ramadan. It's not final like life. But here we are in the middle of the month. And I ask myself, weeping over myself, and I invite you to ask yourselves, how have we done so far? Have we treated this month with the value that Allah has invested in it? When Allah multiplies the rewards 70-fold, did it actually get us to do that much better? If the answer is yes, then thank Allah and continue to do. And if the answer is no, then thank Allah for realizing it and change. We still have not only half the month, but we still have the last 10 nights, which are the most important part of the month. Oh, how great are the blessings of Allah that keep on showering on us. Oh, how great is the month of Ramadan that continues to give us the opportunity to turn toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like no other time whatsoever. The purpose of my khutbah here today, though, is not limited to the month of Ramadan itself. After all, Ramadan is meant to adjust us for the rest of the year. It is meant to feed our souls with the spirituality and the attachment to Allah that will carry us for the rest of the year. And one of the fundamental characteristics that we find in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in the Sahaba is that they were doers. They were people who made things happen. I mean, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was amazingly successful. What these Sahaba have done is incredible. It is hard to believe. If it were not history, we'd think it's fiction. But it is our history. It's not just history, it's our history. The messenger has shown how a band of people, fewer than the ones sitting in the masjid right now today, can change the world. He has shown it in practice. And what I hope we gain from the month of Ramadan is not the act of the rituals of the month of Ramadan, but the meaning behind those rituals. After all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put many benefits in this month, but there is one objective, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may attain taqwa, God consciousness, to heed Allah, to be mindful of Allah in our thoughts and in our words and in our actions and in our inactions as well. So that they are all directed by the guidance of Allah. So that we, like the Sahaba, even though not at the same level, can be successful too. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, hadith sahih, fi sahih Muslim, an Abi Hurairah radiallahu an, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, most people know the first part of the hadith, but not the second part. The Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام says, المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل خير. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the strong mu'min is better and dearer to Allah than the weak mu'min. And there is good in both. And here, power or strength is not simply physical strength, but all sources and all forms of strength, most certainly including the spiritual strength that gives the human being a sense of purpose and a determination to be guided by the guidance of Allah, a determination to be good and to do what is good. Rather than in the absence of iman, you have that weakness. You do good when it's by habit, or your parents raised you to do it. But when it gets really, really tough, we don't find the internal strength to stand up for what is right, because there's no true iman there. But the hadith continues. And the hadith says, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. فَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٌ فَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَلَكِنْ قُلْ قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَحَ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ. The hadith continues and says, seek out what benefits you. Seek out what benefits you. We are not people who wait for things to happen. We are people who make things happen. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum did not simply inherit a reality in Mecca. They created a new reality in Mecca. They created a new reality in Medina. They set new standards. They united people who had been divided. They eliminated concepts that were destructive. They convinced a people who used to bury their daughters to appreciate and honor their daughters. That's what they did. They convinced the Arab and the non-Arab not to simply love one another but to intermarry. They convinced themselves and their tribes that tribalism, for you to love where you come from, is fine, but can never be accepted as a divider among the people. It's a fundamental change in concepts, because they did not fail. So the hadith says, احرص على ما ينفعك, seek out what benefits you. واستعن بالله, and seek the help of Allah. ولا تعجز, and do not be helpless. Now one might ask, what is meant by what benefits you? And just like the word power before, it does not need to be limited in dunya and in akhirah, but always keeping the eye on akhirah, on the hereafter. What truly benefits me? Me meaning any one of us, I don't mean myself personally. What truly benefits me more? To take or to give? There is benefit in both. But to give, there is a greater benefit than to take. So, understanding this, I seek both. I work and I earn, and I give. But I understand that the bigger prize is in giving. Seek out what benefits you. Let us not be like a fool whose head is full of knowledge, but that knowledge cannot get him out of hellfire, because it's procedural knowledge that does not translate into wisdom. Let us be instead like the person whose heart is filled with wisdom, so that he is seeking out Allah in every action that he does. That is the person who knows what benefits him. I mean, after all, who is really smarter? The one who has 5 PhDs or the one who makes it to Jannah? Who's really smarter? So seek out what benefits you, but don't ever think that you are empowered to benefit yourself. وَاسْتَعِمْ بِاللَّهِ And seek the help of Allah. Then you are seeking the help of the one who can truly help. If you wish to achieve something, then seek to achieve it with the help of Allah. Do we not say in every rak'ah of every salah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ It is you whom we worship, and it is your help that we seek. You, Allah. So we turn to Allah for help. وَاسْتَعِمْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْجِزْ And do not be helpless. There is a hadith about this particular point. Because sometimes we wait for things to happen. And wallahi, we are now a community that is at an important critical point in our history, where the history of our country is revolving around us. But we are absent from that debate. We are not always making the decisions. We're not deciding for the country who Muslims are. We are watching things unfold. When we need to be the ones who are the primary actors in this debate about Islam and Muslims in America. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, once a dispute was brought to him between two men. So he ruled in favor of one. So the one who lost, as he's leaving, he says, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. Literally it means, Allah is sufficient for me and on him I rely. It's a beautiful thing. Hasbi Allah is in the Quran twice. You know, it's something that's inspired by the Quran. It's in the Sunnah. But the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam detected in his word a sense of helplessness. No, there is a reason why you lost in this judgment. You didn't do what you needed to do. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَلُومُ عَلَى الْعَجْزِ وَلَكِنْ عَلَيْكَ بِالْكَيْسِ فَإِنْ غَلَبَكَ أَمْرٌ فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ Allah blames the helpless. The one who says, what can I do? Allah blames the helpless. Allah is not satisfied with the helpless. Allah is not satisfied with people who give up. وَلَكِنْ عَلَيْكَ بِالْكَيْسِ But rather, you have to engage in kais. Kais is husn al-tadbir wa al-tasarruf. Means to plan right and to do the right thing. Wa alayka, the word alayka in Arabic means to continuously engage in it. It's not something you do once. Means it has to be your way. Your way is to plan things right and to do the right things. Figure it out. Instead of giving up, figure it out. Then if after that a matter overcomes you, فَإِنْ غَلَبَكَ أَمْرٌ Then you say, حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ My dear brothers and sisters, success is a choice. And failure is a choice. They don't just happen. They do not just happen. He has not failed, the one who dies trying. So when people choose to succeed, they set a goal and they work toward that goal. They will, in the middle, experience successes and failures. Every success is an opportunity to build on it, and every failure is an opportunity to learn from it. And therefore, inside every failure, they will find success. And inside every success, they will find an opportunity to build on it more success. This is when people choose to succeed. But people too often choose to fail by saying, what can I do? I'm just one person. We're helpless. They'll never listen to us anyway. Negative words that infuse negativity and that essentially say, I don't need to try. Ways for us to justify our laziness. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us the most beautiful example of success, of unlikely success, in the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and in the Sahaba. So with this, I remind myself and remind all of us to seek out what benefits us as individuals and as a community, and to rely on Allah and not to be helpless. I remind myself and all of us that Ramadan is the opportunity to feed our souls so we emerge from Ramadan with a raging fire inside that will move us in the way of Allah, so that we will bi-ithnillah continue to strive until we succeed, and success comes only from Allah. I say these words of mine and I see forgiveness for myself and for all of us, so ask His forgiveness that He may forgive us. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. The hadith about the strong mu'min has one last part in the end. The messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام after saying and do not be helpless, he says, and then if a matter befalls you that you don't expect, bad things happen, then don't say, if only I had done this or if only I had done that. Law means if only. It's not if, because if can mean analysis. Say if only. Oh, why did things have to happen this way? So don't say if only this, if only that. Rather, rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. Okay, Allah has willed and what He willed happened. Because this if only opens the door to shaitan. Because it saps away the energy and the desire to succeed. Don't say if only. Say, how can I learn from it? That's the attitude of the Muslim. So I want to give a couple of examples of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam overcoming what looks like a serious setback. One in a very simple case and one in a very serious case. In the simple case, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam to call his family to Islam, he did something very smart and very nice. He made a banquet in his home for his family. And they all came so that he has it in mind after people have eaten and they enjoyed themselves that he will share the message of Islam with them. There, Abu Lahab is sitting, his uncle. Before the messenger opens his mouth, Abu Lahab says, and I'm going to loosely translate into modern English, you're not going to tell us about this Islam thing again, are you? Essentially what Abu Lahab did, he blocked the ability of the messenger to speak. Because now if the messenger speaks about Islam, everybody will roll their eyes and say, yeah, that's what all he talks about. Right? It's difficult. But if the messenger loses the opportunity, what will happen? But the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, again to use an American expression, rolled with the punches. He didn't open his mouth. He waited a couple of weeks and he made another banquet. And there his family came again. And there his uncle didn't speak, because he's not going to speak every time and say the same thing. And there the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam stood up and he talked to them about Islam softly and nicely. He worked with it. He worked with it. That's a simple case. But now let's take a really serious case. In the battle of Uhud, the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam prepared the troops very carefully. In the beginning of the battle, it was on a Saturday, the Muslims had been victorious in the battle of Uhud. And the enemy started running away. And there is a little mountain off on the side of part of mountain of Uhud where the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam had put the archers to protect the backs of the Muslims. When the archers saw that the battle is over, they went to get the spoils of war, even though the messenger had told them not to come down. Khalid ibn al-Walid, who had not been a Muslim at that time, saw this, killed the few remaining archers and attacked the Muslims from above. The net result is about 71 or 72 Muslims were killed, when the Kuffar only lost 16 or so. It was a very bad thing. The messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was injured seriously. He had a big gash on his head because he was hit with a sword straight on the head that broke his helmet. And it didn't break his skull, but he had a big gash on his head, and he had a wound in his cheek, and he had lost a tooth. There's no, and he had wounds in his body, and so was the Sahaba. And the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, at this point, he was injured, and the Sahaba was injured, were injured. But then the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, did something really incredibly smart. It's a battle most of us don't hear about because it's not as famous as the Battle of Uhud. It's known as Hamra'ul Asad. Uhud was on a Saturday. The Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, ordered on Saturday night after the battle that the Sahaba who came out with him, and only those who came to fight in the Battle of Uhud would come out with him. There were 630 left, because 70 had died. And he said, we're going to run after Quraysh. Quraysh, having, from this perspective, felt that they won the battle that day, they had set up camp, not far from Medina. But the Messenger did something really, really smart. He didn't simply run after them. He spread the rumor that he will run after them, a true rumor. But he let them know that Muhammad wa qawmuhu yataharraquna, they are burning to fight back. There the kuffar felt it's dangerous. They don't want to lose the victory to turn the victory into defeat. So they removed their camp. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam started pursuing them. So they started going toward Mecca. So the Messenger started running after them. So they ran all the way to Mecca. Now here's something really interesting. What had happened is that 70 Sahaba had been killed. But what all the Arabs heard is Muhammad and his people are running after Mecca, and Mecca ran away all the way. Quraysh ran all the way to Mecca. So he reversed the defeat into a victory without a battle. Because he seized the moment, and because he didn't say, oh, we're too weak right now, and we're too tired, and we're injured, let's wait a couple of weeks. That is wala ta'jiz. That is not to fail and not to allow your wounds to get in the way. That's how you turn a defeat into a victory. I want to close with one ayah, two ayat, from the end of Surah Al-Zalzalah, because sometimes the good deeds seem overwhelming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Whoever does a seed's worth of good, he will see it, and whoever does a seed's worth of evil, he will see it. Whatever good we do, we will see. And in the month of Ramadan, it will be multiplied more than any other time. So my dear brothers and sisters, spirituality feeds our bodies into action. We find the energy to do the right thing through Qiyamul Layl, through fasting, through the Quran. These are the things that feed our soul, and there is no time to feed our souls better than the month of Ramadan. So let us seize the opportunity of the month of Ramadan, and let us emerge out of this month pure and closer to Allah and more heeding with more taqwa than we have ever been in the past. Let us make the choice to succeed in this month. Wallahi, if the past years we have failed to take the opportunity, and if in the first 15 days we have failed to take the opportunity, bi-idhnillah, let us choose in the rest of the month of Ramadan to succeed, so that bi-idhnillah, for the rest of the year we will succeed. With this, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us success in this world and in the hereafter. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us our mistakes and our shortcomings, no matter how many they are. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen us, to strengthen our hearts, to strengthen our minds, and to strengthen our bodies. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the path that is most pleasing to Him. O Allah, You are most forgiving, and You love forgiveness, so forgive us. O Allah, You are the Lord of all guidance, so guide us. O Allah, show us truth to be truth, and guide us to it, and give us the strength in it to pursue it. Strength to pursue it, and show us falsehood to be falsehood, and give us the strength to avoid it. O Allah, in this blessed month of Ramadan, make us among those whose necks are freed from the fire, for the blessings of this month, in this year, on this day, in this masjid. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, and to bless our families, and to bless all those whom we love. And I ask Allah that the year to come will be the best yet for Muslims. And I ask Allah that it will be a year of success and a year of strength. And I ask Allah to give us the strength of character to choose to succeed in His path. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana. Allahumma barik lana warhamna. Rabbi ihdina wahdi bina wa'afina wa'afu anna. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك وإنه لا يذل من وليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت يا ربنا وتعاليت رب انصرنا وانصر إخواننا في سوريا وفي بنغلاديش وفي ميانمار وفي الصومال وفي كل بقاع الأرض يا رب انصرنا وانصر إخواننا هنا في الولايات المتحدة وفي فلوريدا يا رب انصرنا وانصر بنا واهدنا واهدي بنا رب اغفر لنا كل ذنوبنا عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقم الصلاة